There was no settings that were different. I don't understand it. Well, look, it's coming through now. Can you talk now, Mark?
Yeah, I can talk now,
Cut that out. I went to Hastings yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Scene of the crime, what I'm saying. What happens in Hastings?
Well, it doesn't stay in Hastings. It, you know, changed the course of history. That's why.
So. That's true.
But the old adage goes.
It wasn't even Hastings, was it?
No.
Landed at Pevensey, and then the battle was at Battle. So.
Yeah, been to Pevensey Castle. It's nice.
Yeah, just improvements on the original Roman fort, wasn't it?
Yeah. Some might very say it was the first like flip, like renovated it.
Yeah, not a few walls down.
Yeah, you know, a bit more open plan, a few more battlements, and a bit more defensible. Yeah. Nice little dungeon.
Yeah. Breakfast bar.
Yeah, it's good. Little chapel.
Sure.
Yeah, very much the summer house of its time.
Isn't that? Live from Pevensey Castle.
Sounds like an award show.
Battle, the spot where the... I don't know.
It's funny how Battle... the battle happened at Battle.
Mm.
Weird, isn't it?
It is weird. It's almost like it was gearing for it. Like,
what a coincidence.
Yeah.
What should we... Where should we have the battle?
It's like when they the Romans were... we're not spoken French anyway.
What are they spoken?
Norman. Or Frankish. What was I saying? Well, it's like when the Romans were deciding where they were going to put stuff in England, wasn't it? They thought, well, there's a place called Bath. Got no choice, probably put the Bath there.
Yeah. Luckily,
there's a spring
here. So.
But it all just links in, doesn't it? It's like, you know.
As a result, or as they would have said, quod est effectivus est. That's a result.
Imagine that's probably exactly how it happened.
Yeah. Obviously, without them having to Google Translate what they were going to say first.
Yeah, without having to Google Translate, and then probably having to fight off some Celts. Soon after.
Probably. A bit of Bath? A bit of Bath?
I haven't been to Bath. I would like to go to Bath.
It's really good. It's good, isn't it, Mark?
Mm.
I've been, haven't I? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's with the eggy water you drink at the end. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Not nice.
Is that a delicacy? Part of breakfast? Is it just sulfur?
It's the cup as well. It's one of them like cone cups you get.
Oh yeah,
cone cups.
Yeah, you're like
a mini dunce's cap upside down.
Oh right, yeah. Oh yeah, I know you. Do.
Oh, mini dunce's, yeah.
Teacher, that's a bad sign. Oh
yeah. It's got a job like those in.
Yeah.
Now you've got to disinfect it after using.
I put it down as PPE.
I got. I used to have like a really nice one, really bespoke, but now I've just got some PPE ones like made out of like
disposable. One of these dunce's caps. having fun. Yeah, it's good, isn't it, Bath? It's brilliant. The actual baths themselves.
Okay. Do you actually go into them? You're not allowed in them, are you?
Sorry?
Do you actually, like, you're not allowed in them, are you?
No.
Because
up to the 70s, you're allowed to go into the actual bath.
All right.
Like, in it, but then some girl died of meningitis, so. I think it's meningitis, something like that. One of those old time diseases.
Old time diseases.
One of those retro diseases.
Swizzles.
That's the hip new thing in like Hackney Wick is like having polio. Having like big blue denim jeans and polio.
Yeah, the collar is making a comeback.
Oh yeah. Around I read an article in Vice about cholera. It's a bunch of pricks with big glasses just drinking dirty water. When was the last time you had a bath? I mean, like, instead of a shower, not like saying you smell. I mean, do you often have baths?
Depressingly, since I had the surgery, and now I need to have a bath every day with, it's like 4 inches of water. And a
mug. Like a baby.
Yeah. Baby bath.
Careful, yeah. Someone can drown in 4 inches of water.
I took my elbow in first of all, test it's all right. Yes, 4 inches of water and a mug and a half's worth of salt. And
how did you measure that? Like a ruler?
I thought you meant the mug and a half. You get one mug.
You know, he uses his erect penis.
Yeah, you can float on top, but make sure it's the bottom.
Make sure I burn the first 4 inches. And, just do it by eye. Yeah.
By eye.
So yeah, have
like used to measure in 4 inches by eye. Is that
yeah, it's sort of buff. It's not fun. Fairly demeaning, if anything.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thanks for hearing it on a public forum. Yeah.
It's very probably wasn't as much demeaning when it was perfectly private and no one knew anything about it. It's really weird.
No, it's right, I'll do the intro now. Hello and welcome to The Great British Sitcom, the show in which we watch some potentially forgotten sitcom classics to see if they're stood the test of time. I'm Mark, and that's Chris Wood.
Hello.
And that's Chris Jones.
Hello.
Today we're watching Los Dos Bros. This was requested by Dan Hillman, a stand-up comedian. He's on Twitter, at Dan with the Times. Series premise of Los Dos Bros. Would one of you two like to read this out?
Yeah, got him.
Wood is getting pointed at.
Hello and welcome to the Great
Yeah, I'll just cut from there.
Okay, so series intro for Was Los Dos Bros.
For Was. That's read by Jonathan Was. Got the fan fiction going already.
So it's from the makers of double Emmy award winning Smack the Pony. Comes a comedy series featuring Darren Boyd and Kevin Clerkin. It's a pair of dysfunctional half-brothers, and they are forced to explore their recurring sibling rivalries.
Kevin Clerkin's not a real name.
Kevin.
This sounds like a nursery rhyme.
Is that his actual name, or is this like a typo that's gone weird? Is Kevin, C-A-V-A-N, is that his name?
Kevin. I know, it's on Wikipedia, it says Kevin
Clerkin. I don't believe that's a real name.
Well, yeah, but anything could be a real name.
Kevin.
Yeah.
What's that sort of name is that? Is that Welsh or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Furious, I don't know.
Name expert.
It's Irish, sorry. Apologies.
Cavan, town in the Republic of Ireland.
Cavan, his boy's name is Irish and Gaelic origin. The meaning of Cavan is handsome. Oh, boasting.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see that being kind of Irishy.
Cavan.
Yeah. Right, sorry, it's not many English names, but come on. Yeah. Connell have a Greek name.
Mark?
My Christopher, it's Greek.
Uncle Christopher as well.
Yeah, I'm saying. What?
I don't know. I felt like a lot of antagonists against him to me. Exactly the same name. What name is Mark? Do you reckon it's like sort of European, isn't it?
I don't know. It's my dad's name.
Sure, it's your middle name, isn't it?
Hmm.
A shit name. So the old Latin Marticos, which means it consecrated to the god Mars. God of war, warlike, appropriate.
Mm. That sounds right. Would you like to know who this was written by?
Please tell us, Mark, please.
Kevin Clerkin. He wrote also Comedy Lab and he was in Smack the Pony or wrote it. I don't know what this is. It's just lists.
You always avoided that show, didn't you? Because it was a pony's a bit too close to horse.
Yeah, I'm pretty scared. Robert Harley also wrote Smack the Pony. This is re-edited to Greet's Wing rather than Green Wing. That's a shame. And Ed Rowe, again, Smack the Pony, and Teachers. He co-wrote Teachers.
Oh, Teachers is good. I like that. I liked it at the time. I don't know if I haven't watched it since. Have you watched Teachers?
I've seen it in the past. I haven't watched it since.
That's a busman's holiday for you, isn't it, really?
This series ran into...
Sorry, who was it? Robert Harley?
Robert Harley, yes.
So he's kind of like the 21st century... So he's the Bob Harley to the Bob Larby of the 70s. You reckon?
Maybe. Harley, yeah.
Bob Harley, Bob Larby. It's the same person, do you reckon?
You okay?
I don't know, he's really hot.
Harley?
I've heated.
Yeah, maybe that is, I don't know.
Don't entertain that. Can't
confirm that here, but we'll look into it.
We'll get back to you.
Why don't you do some research? I'll do some research.
We'll come together.
Oh, fucking hell.
It's hot, isn't it?
Yeah. It's really hot.
What, does anyone know what it is today? Just for context of people
listening
to
this.
It is the sunniest of days. It's like what?
It's the sunniest of days.
Well, this one here says 27.
There's a breeze coming in now.
I was going to BBC. And today he reckons it's 31 in Romford.
Real feel 31, yeah.
Oh, it's well hot, wasn't it? I find it weird that temperature changes across like small
climates.
Yeah, not very far distances, because it wasn't this hot back in where I lived.
What?
No, right. Wasn't this hot in Thurrock this morning when I left?
Right.
It wasn't this warm. It was a bit. It was warm, but yeah. It wasn't as hot.
When I was keep it quiet. When I was at work like a good few years ago, literally one side of the building from the other, you could see sun and rain.
What?
Fucking nonsense. It really sincerely, like it's the most important.
I was there.
Like it's the most important information you've ever told us. In my old office, you should have to see sun and rain. What office? Did you work in the Met office?
It's live feed from weather across the world.
Wow.
It's a rainbow.
Well, it was the rainbow, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh.
It's only going to get worse for you this week, Mark. 33 tomorrow, 34 Tuesday.
Fuck me.
33 Wednesday.
Oh, great.
Friday 24. Have a nice day, Friday.
I don't mind it. I think it's quite funny.
Funny? Just sitting at the guy laughing, cracking up. What's he doing? Heat stroke. It's a new symptom.
I had a heat stroke once. It was really bad.
Oh, really?
And he died.
Really?
It's really sad to go into the hospital and have an IV and everything.
God. did you not wear a hat? Is that what just stopped it?
No. No, it's in Spain as well. Oh. So yeah, my in-laws had to take me to the hospital. What a cunt.
Typical English.
Pretty much, yeah.
That was on a doctor's chart on his name.
What's wrong with it? It's English.
Typical English. Bowel. They got a big laugh. What did you say? What are you talking about? Bob Larby.
You were.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Harley.
Yeah. It was what, the writer?
He was a writer for this. So the series runs 2001, just the 1 year. 6 episodes of 1 series. Series rating of 8 out of 10. So I'm dubious of that. Kevin Clerkin starred in this. He was also in The Last Kingdom, The Trials of Jimmy Rose and Babylon. Darren Boyd was in Four Lions, Alan Partridge in Spectre of Agony, and Vicky Pepperdine, good surname, Getting On, Rev, and Green Wing. Today's episode, we're going to be watching Series 1, Episode 4, Money, but there's not a rating for this one.
Well, let's just assume it's the 8 out of 10 rating, 80% that the whole series.
Consistent.
Yeah, got.
Yeah. Tune in next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Now, what do you reckon the theme tune is going to be like for this? I don't.
This is the worst part of the episode.
No, I like this bit. I always like a good theme tune. Chat. It's got to be Spanish of some time, surely.
Flamenco music.
So racist.
What do you mean? Spanish?
Flamenco is well good. It's really good, flamenco.
Okay. Ask the question.
Take your word for it. I always walk past them in the zoo. Can't give time.
Well, whatever they're looking at in the ground is that's not a flamenco, is it?
Yeah, right. Well, stand up on one leg. Hold on. I can stand up on one leg. So it's why they always bury their head in the sand, I find. It's weird. They have that in the marsh, in the river that they live in.
Do they really do that? It was like a myth. Ostriches.
Yeah, ostriches.
Do they actually do that?
I don't really know. I'm not really a zoologist.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know, it must come from somewhere. It's probably come from somewhere, like someone saw an ostrich do it once and they thought, oh, it just must be what every ostrich does every time.
Like lemmings, isn't it?
Yeah, like herd them off a cliff and then tell everyone that's what they do.
Mm. I reckon it's just going to be some like kind of indie music or something.
Yeah, all right. I can unfortunately foresee that. I'm hoping for Spanishy stuff, but yeah,
well, is there going to be a link to it being? Well, I don't understand why it's got a Spanish.
I don't.
Why not? Yeah. It's about two brothers, and they were thinking about what to call it.
Yeah, but why don't they just call it?
It rhymes.
The two brothers.
Because it doesn't rhyme. Los dos bros rhymes.
Yeah, but why has everything got a rhyme?
All the time.
Yeah, but rhyming's not. I don't know.
Rhyme's not what?
Well, no, I was just saying, like, you don't automatically think, right, what's the title going to be? Well, does it rhyme?
English, in the English language, that rhyme.
English shows that rhyme. It was a fun game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
We spoiled your game for later.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Probably, I think no is the answer.
No, I don't think so. Can't think of anything. Well, if you can think of anything.
Please.
Right, answers on a postcard.
Yeah.
On a postcard.
All right, should we go ahead and watch Los Bros.
Sí. Vamos.
Vamanos. What's Vamanos? Go away.
Let's go.
Oh, let's go. All right, Vamanos.
Go away. Vamanos. All right, see ya.
Oh, it's not. What is go away then? Asking for a friend. All right, yeah, we're going to go watch that and we'll see you in a bit.
Adios.
Yeah, we just watched series one, episode four of Los Bros, entitled Money. Anyone want to go through the premise of this?
It was loosely themed around money, as the title suggests, and it was a series of sort of sketches, I guess, scenarios,
yes.
And they all kind of just revolved around money. There wasn't like an overarching kind of strong narrative throughout.
Yeah, I think if I was going to had to pick another title for the episode, it would be either Money or Falling Down. Because that was what the show revolved around.
Pretty much, as well as the falling downs, a pratfall, and pretty much every other scene. Probably like a supercut of that.
Yeah, that'd be easy to do.
Would it be good? supercut of that, that'd be really cut to us, cause stony face watching it.
That'd be a use of time, yeah.
No, from the credits, it was going to be bad.
The credits are horrible.
When they're just
the
dancing, around, horrible, like, yeah. dancing around at each other, doing stupid, like,
yeah,
the cowboy
let's
hat and
this.
The jacket. From that point, I knew why it's going to be shit in it.
I thought you liked the cowboy hat and jacket.
I did, from a fashion from a fashion point of view, it was great. Like, loved it. But from a, you know, they just didn't wear it with enough style.
No. Not like a true rancher. But I do think something that kind of took it down a few notches was the use of the laugh track or the studio audience. Or it wasn't studio, I don't know.
Studio audience in the street.
It's not like hair laughter. You know, it's a differential in there between...
I don't know the other term for
let's
it.
Let's just say laugh track. And then
yeah. Know, I mean, I'm happy to be wrong. We often are.
The laugh track and the music, the score throughout, kind of took it down a few notches. Like it was really hammering home what was supposed to be funny. Where I think some of it would have been as intolerable if some of it played out in silence, not in silence, but like just the recorded sounds
without like underlining what we were seeing
it's
on
like
screen.
I understand. I'm not stupid. You know, if they treat the audience with some respect, and you know, it wasn't that. You didn't have to.
Yeah, there's nothing you had to think about in that episode.
Exactly.
It was all shoveled right in front of your eyes.
Exactly.
They were either falling over or doing something stupid.
Or accidentally breaking something.
Yeah, it wasn't like there was nothing based around like any sort of like. I mean, to be fair, that could have been like they could have done like a Mr. Bean. That could have been done in silence with no dialogue at all, really.
Mm.
Like,
was because like I said, in the first couple of minutes, I thought, oh, this is quite interesting. Like, there was like a bit of interplay, and like it wasn't so outlandish at first. The first scene, they walk up to on a parade of shops, and there's like a charity box in the shape of a panda. a panda. And he puts some money in it. He grabs what he thinks is some money out of his Bros's pocket.
I think let's establish the types of the two characters first of all.
Yeah.
Like, let's call them Tall One and Small One, because like I'm not gonna make any effort to remember these names. So you got the tall one that is in the theme of this episode is money, and he's the poor one, hasn't got a good job. I think he walks dogs for a living. And you got the other one that's really materialistic, has lots of money, and just, yeah, spends his money on lots of shit. And they're constantly bickering and fighting between it, and that's when they get to the panda scene.
So the tall one grabs what he thinks is a coin out of the small one's pocket and puts it in the panda. And he's annoyed because... There's like a line that he says where he says why are you doing it? And it's like, oh, they'll only spend it on bamboo or something.
Yeah, he goes, why are you giving charity to the pandas? They'll only spend it on bamboo. Yeah. Then he puts Dorky in and he goes, oh, it's me Dorky. He goes, oh, that's right, you got yours, haven't you? And he goes, no, mine's at the Labrador outside the whatever other shop.
Yeah, that was all fine.
And that's why I thought, well, this isn't bad. Like, this little bit of, you know, kind of playing off each other and that. But then the rest of it really, really leaned heavily on just... physical comedy, and some of it wasn't that bad. Like some of the scenes that kind of had the vibe of like Laurel and Hardy, that kind of thing.
Okay.
That kind of dynamic, and I thought, yeah, that's not too bad. Like the stuff on the bus was a bit weird, but like it did, like it wasn't. It was just underplayed enough to be tolerable, I thought. But then the supermarket scene was just, it was the low point of the episode, wasn't it? Like they go
one
the
of.
Fuck me.
Yeah. I don't think I understand the joke where the two characters are physically fighting each other, and it's comical, and they're just both not very good at fighting, or they're wrestling over something. I've never understood how that's funny.
Trying to get into their brothers, like
the bickering side
sort
of
when they're kids, like wrestling each other, yeah. Trying to put that into it, but it just, I don't know, I don't think it works.
I think I get that from like the character development perspective, but you only really need to do that once.
Yeah, no, they just were like, yeah, kept doing it over and over again.
Yeah,
wasn't
it became like something to lean on for comedy, and I don't understand how that was funny in this.
No.
Because they could have. I didn't find it funny first up when they did it with the panda when they were wrestling over that. Because they essentially stole from charity is what that scene was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They could have established that and just never done it again. But yeah, there was consistent fighting in this.
Well, yeah, just consistent fighting, rolling around. It was just physical comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But then there would be like cutaways to things that had no relation to anything to do with. It was just, it looked like the therapist scene was obviously used as like an expositional device to, they can kind of speak what they're feeling to the audience in a way that, you know, that kind of makes sense to the story and everything. So that
it's the backbone to everything.
Yeah, like it was used in the Badil syndrome, for instance, so that you could explain things to the audience, I guess.
Didn't it start as like a sketch show? Like it was like a one, like on a sketch show, it was pilot, like these were like two characters, so they were like a little sketch segment.
Okay, right.
I think that's what I was asking. I mean,
I was going to say, like, if this was done as a sketch show,
it seemed like it was just stretching out a really unfunny sketch.
Yeah.
And all like mashing together like several, like a series worth of sketches into an episode. And it just was like, it was just too much. I mean, not that any of those sketches were particularly amusing, but at least if it was in a sketch show, it would have been like lessened.
Yeah,
like it was just a lot.
It was lots of little sketches, loosely around the theme of money, but there was no story to it at all. There's a part where he was going to have an interview. There was a part where a purse was found in a trolley, and then there was a part where he went to go buy a new flat, but he didn't have the money for it. So they're all like identifiable things around having, you know, not enough money or too much money, but no real conflict resolution. Because like I was expecting at the end for them just to kind of like make up, and that's the end of the session.
So it started as a episode of Comedy Lab, which was a series which showcased pilots of experimental comedy shows.
Okay.
So it would have been just like a series where it's like one episode of different things, and then it sort of came onto that, but. God, blimey, even then. Don't know. I haven't seen the rest of the series. I can't imagine how it. Like, you'd hope that every episode doesn't just boil down to them fighting and wrestling. And
I can imagine it would be.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be. But
unfortunately,
like, I don't know.
I don't think it doesn't necessarily matter that there wasn't like a strong narrative. But then you have to have something that draws you into it. And like, and if it was like a kind of a. I mean, character study is too formal a word, I guess, to use it for this. But if it was something where there was something about their characters and the way that they interacted, and they weren't just two cartoons that hit each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just a scene after scene of them doing. It wasn't even as if it was the tall one who was the poor one who was doing silly things and the other was a straight man. They were both equally as like falling over and doing ridiculous things in public and. They had no consequences, and it was just like, what are we supposed to be watching this for? What are we supposed to be getting out of this?
Let's talk around some of the scenes that we had. So, I mentioned the job interview scene, for example, and as we were watching it, there was like the sign language bit, and I mentioned as we watched it that we had a similar thing in Me and My Girl.
Similar trope that's often used.
Yeah, so when one of them is trying to talk to someone and. Behind is someone giving them like guidance by
they're doing the hand gestures, they're gesturing like almost like charades.
Yeah, having to guess what the other person is prompting them to say.
Exactly. Yeah. And what did you guys take away from this scene in particular?
Nothing.
Nothing. No.
There nothing. There was no. There were no consequences.
Really. Oh no, there was like, the really funny bit where he ate a sugar cube out of his hand
like a horse
for like a good solid chunk of time. Like it went on.
Yeah.
Then he put his little cup cone in his pocket.
Yeah. Pocket cup. Yeah.
Dribbled sugar out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And then leaned forward and spilled water over the table. Classic. That was really good. I really enjoyed that.
I would have enjoyed that more again if it didn't have the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, I think if I saw somebody just like nuzzling some sugar cubes out of their hand and that there was just like no references to why he'd done that, I mean, I think that could be done fairly well.
And it would have ramped up the awkwardness of it. This him silently munching on the sugar cube and then sort of dribbling and stuff.
Yeah, but then it was complete silence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas this, he hear the audience going ha, and then he dribbles, and then you hear them going
Yeah.
It's like we can see that. we don't need the audience prompting us. We can see that. In fact, it reminded me of like in some of the dynamic of it was like reminded me of Peep Show, where there was like a you know what Peep Show is. It's a straight one, and then there's the Jeremy is the layabout who doesn't have a job. Mm-hmm. And there was a scene that there a job interview scene where Jeremy's supposed to go and get a job, and he deliberately sabotages it.
Yeah.
But Mark is in that interview as well, isn't he? And he's trying to get him the job, and Jeremy is deliberately sabotaging the interview. It just seemed that a lot of it was, to me, it looked like improv, and I didn't have the discipline to edit it down enough to make it.
You think?
Yeah, I reckon a lot of it was improv. Oh, okay. Improvised.
Yeah, just sit in front of the camera and do.
Like stuff with the bubble gum that went for fucking ages.
That was far too.
That's improv. Yeah. It was obviously improvised, and they were like, "Oh, this is funny. Let's keep this in the whole thing in almost real time."
Yeah.
Audience cracking up as well. It's like, right, you blew a bubble, it burst in his face, and then he tried to get it back into his mouth without touching it with his hands.
Did it cut back to that? Cut back
and over again, and it was just...
Well, you got that gold, you've got to use it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's why our podcast is so long.
Half the budget was spent on Hubba Bubba, so they needed to
make sure
they got it in.
5p at a time, a bubble over.
Shake your boo.
And this is what it seemed to me. It just seemed really undisciplined. Like,
yeah,
a lot of stuff, like with the stuff with him in the therapist's office eating the peanut, and then he choked, and then it showed this interminably cutting back to him, doing the Heimlich maneuver.
It was a good 3-4 times.
Cut back to them in the office, and he's hitting him in the back for ages, and then cutting back and back. It's like wasn't that? It's not that funny that he keep. It just seemed, it just seemed like they were like in the supermarket. Let's film us for a bit, and we'll do some funny stuff, and then we'll just edit it. And it wasn't. It was just. Overall, is so undisciplined.
Yeah, it was like,
is that the right word?
Yeah, walk around a supermarket, be a dick. That seemed to be like there wasn't any sort of plot to that. There was a bit where he found a purse, but again, it's just way of tying it into money, I think. And so he takes the money and then he goes. They go back home and then there's a hilarious bit where I was chuckling away because I often have this problem at home as well. And he's trying to hang the coats up, but he's got too many coats. And it's just all falling.
Too many coats, not enough hooks.
Gets frustrated.
Too many hooks by the broth.
Slings it over the banister and just leaves some of them on the stairs. Perfect. And luckily, nothing ever comes of that.
Oh, wait, but does there? Because the other one comes down and, would you believe it, fell over. Over the coats, Mark.
I wasn't even expecting it. It just came out of nowhere. No. But then he's reading some sort of magazine. I don't know what it was. Face.
The face.
What's that like? Some sort of.
It was like a.
Not like a take a break, like a.
If only.
No, it was like a high-end hipster magazine.
Oh, was
the
it?
90s, yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like, you know, it was not going anymore. I was pushed downstairs by my dog's ghost or something like that. Like. Do you read those? Like women's magazine stories. It's just like bleak.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the worst things ever. You read the front page and it's like, my God. Yeah. It's a horrific story. Yeah. Yeah.
He killed my sister, but I love him. Yeah. It's just like things, like why would he do this? I don't
know. Anyway, so he's reading the Reader's Problems, wasn't he? And it was like, he made up one, the fact of like, found some money, didn't know what to do with it. And so he was trying to push his brother into like, well, you'd he found a purse in the coat, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh no, in the trolley.
No. But when he was putting the coats.
Oh,
on the
sorry.
Hook,
he found. Yeah,
he found
sorry.
That his brother had the purse.
Yeah.
In his weird little western jacket that he wears.
What do you think of the jacket? The little tassels, brown suede jacket with the tassels.
I don't really understand why he's wearing it.
Yeah,
because he had that and the boots and the hat.
Full western gear.
Set him up as a wacky character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
can defend the cowboy boots, obviously, 100%.
Yeah, that's kind of.
I'd throw those away.
Is it true that
throw those away?
Is it true that in your car you've
I had some as well. Did you know that I had some at some point?
Oh yeah, of course you did.
Couldn't take them off last time I put them on.
Is that why you still got them on? They've been medically fused to your leg.
I have to cut off my trousers every night.
It's just wearing those like Adidas that pop up at sides. Little that, strip of trousers.
I've just got repeat order on Amazon for trousers.
I thought your cowboy boots, you couldn't get them off until you were shot dead in a duel, and then the victor took them off you.
Yeah, he just measured yeah, Wood's got against the bottom of yours.
I was in a duel with Wood, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a referee. Tell that gentleman.
It's funny, they weren't allowed to make trips to the new house with me after.
Really?
Happened. Yeah, no.
Oh.
Yeah, right off into the sunset.
Yeah.
So true that.
Game of burial.
Back garden.
I've got a little got a little bronze boot in the ground.
Oh. Here lies.
You're walking on those clouds now, boy.
So the only kind of thing that paid off, I guess, was that the part where he found the person and he found the person in the trolley, and then the other brother found the person in the jacket. That kind of tied the two scenes together. Yeah. And then there was the one on the bus where...
I don't remember the bus scene. I didn't see the bus scene.
Yeah, it's one of the best scenes.
So they both jumped on the bus, and the small one fell over.
Right.
Unbelievably.
That's a shock. Clumsy. And,
when they sat down, the tall one was like, I'll pay for this, and he had no money.
Oh, right.
The small one paid for both of them. Okay. And then he kept leaning up, didn't he, for some reason, like he wouldn't sit properly, the taller one.
Because at first, yeah, the little one sits down and the big one sits next to him, and he's like sitting really high up.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's weird. But then he goes, the little brother sort of angrily sort of shifted and sort of glared at him. And in a Laurel and Hardy-esque way, I thought.
Yeah.
And he fell down. Not fell down, he sat down. And he goes, oh, well, you know, the tall one, the poor one was like, this is my treat, I'll get it. Which is kind of funny because, you know, buying someone a bus fare is a treat. You know,
yeah.
Then he pats himself down, and while he's doing that, the other brother's getting some money out because he knows he hasn't got any money. He knows he's been here before. Conductor comes, pays for the tickets, and then the other one's like, well, you know, the next time I'll pay, you know.
I like the idea of the patting him down like he's got cash all over him, like every pocket.
You never know.
You have just one pocket, keep it in your pocket. But anyway, like, yeah, the full body pat.
Chris's advice, taking him away from this episode. Keep saying, well, let's say, for thieves, you know, got everything in one pocket, it's the payload, isn't it? You spread it around.
That's the target. Zeroed in.
You spread it around your body. They might steal something out of your back pocket, yeah, but it won't be all your money.
Oh, I don't know. What?
I don't know.
That's like all your eggs in one basket.
That's the, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you've got eggs in your basket, don't put it in your back pocket because you sit on it and break the eggs.
That's true. When you're doing shopping, don't put the eggs in the bottom of the bag. No, put them to the side. No. Put them on the top.
Put the tins at the bottom. Yeah,
yeah, tins. Yeah, the heavy stuff at the bottom.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bottles of detergent. Okay. Top, you want to put your bread, your eggs.
Yeah. Mm. Like milk, eggs and butter on the top. That's what we're saying.
It's like when you put your bread in, you put something heavy on top of it, you get home, you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, ruin my sandwiches.
Come on. Now I've got a weird shaped toast a week. Amateur.
So then.
Tips.
In the supermarket, the same thing happens. After he finds the purse with the money in it, loads of money. The same scene plays out at the
just under £70
checkout, 69. Nice. The tall ones are getting to pay, and then the little one's like, oh, here we go again.
But don't forget, he's walked around the shop like just randomly chucking stuff in his basket. He's taking food out of like people's hands.
Infuriating,
the loose fruit and veg, he's just tipping
string beans,
chilies or whatever, just tipping them into a trolley.
Down the a carton of soy milk.
Yeah, but when he drank it, he did that really funny comedy drink where you're not actually drinking it, you just
streams all over your face
and
as well.
Push it out your mouth, like, so it's all down yourself. It's really good, really funny. And not a waste of milk.
Not at all, no. And all the while, the small guy pushing like a row of trolleys around.
Yeah, because he couldn't get the trolley out because it was stuck. Because it was really funny when the first brother's trolley was stuck.
Let's do it again.
Just did it again. Yeah. It's really good. What was the end?
Estate agent scene
of them skateboarding down an alley.
I don't know what that was.
That's really weird.
We all enjoyed that.
It's like, that was good.
Less than 10 seconds.
They go down an alleyway towards the camera, and I can't even.
The little ones, short ones on skateboard, and the other one's chasing him, almost like, let me have a turn. No. I'm just kidding. That's kind of like what it was like, isn't it?
It's so
like,
I zoned out at that point.
You're hogging a skateboard.
I think one of them says, like, get out of my way or something. And the other one's like, get out of my life. Great.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I'm fucking radical. But then they get to this estate agent, apropos of nothing. There's not, there was no, like, old bit where he's like, oh, you need to get out, or... They fucking sick of you, Randy, yeah. You prick, you cock.
I set up for
oh,
it.
I need a one-bedroom house. I want no one loves me. I've got no friends or family. I won't need any, a spare room. I won't have any visitors.
Him, like, looking at him, like.
And exactly. So it's like, it wouldn't be a revelation to that brother because he knows that they know what they where they stand. They dislike each other.
Yeah, but
they call each other parasites at the therapist's office.
But was he supposed to be standing there watching? Because he looked like he cared and he didn't really want him to
where
go.
Where did that come from?
Wait, that's what I'm saying. It didn't, but I feel like that. Maybe that's what they were trying to do, but it was done badly. I guess.
And then he's going, oh, come on, let's get out of here. He's like, well, I'm getting a flat. And then he referring to the estate agent and says, he's a tosser. I did my fucking job, mate. What?
I really.
Where'd that come from?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the small brother sort of walks in. He's like, come on. He's a tosser.
Yeah. What? Just trying to do my. He's right, though. Estate agents are parasites. To be fair,
yeah,
they are, aren't they? Come on, they are scum.
What do you mean scum?
What do you have? Do you have friends or family or estate agents?
I've got cousins.
Is he or is he not? Or she scum?
No. Well,
come
I
on,
don't
come
know.
On.
I don't know. In a professional capacity.
Yeah. Mark, they're scum, aren't they? This is our official stance as a podcast.
Well,
yeah. We do not endorse estate agents.
If you ask me to endorse them, I will not.
No. If we got an advert, paid advert, I'll say anything about Stratton Park or
Foxtons.
That's a good one.
Oh, Stratton Park, yeah. Good
reference. Cheers. Best O' Eves.
Yes. When we was buying ours, we had to go through probate. So what was meant to be like a 30-day move-in took about 8 months. And so I kept phoning the estate agent to get an update of you chase it up or everything like that. And then they kept just fobbing us off. And then the solicitor called and said, oh yeah, we're ready to exchange, like 8 months in, obviously. And so I phoned the estate agent just to let them know. Like, oh yeah, by the way, solicitors, it's all matched up. So we're now ready to exchange and it'll be good, you know, get us off your books. And so I phoned up and the lady's like, oh, I'll just ask the manager or whatever of the branch. I'll just see what he's thinking about it. Obviously, knew at a job. Didn't know how to press, like, what is it, mute on a phone call.
Oh,
so man. I heard him fobbing me off in the back. Like, just tell him I've done all I can and da da da, or get him off the phone or something like that.
Fucking
so when the girl came back on the phone, I said, right, well, yeah, I heard all that. And, just an FYI, solicitor's ready to exchange. And then, yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah. And then suddenly he came on the phone.
Like, yeah, right. I like how estate agents are scum because it's like, what? Come on. I don't know. And then came up with that story to justify it.
Well, scum's a hard word.
Parasites? Yeah, don't need them.
But would tosser or not tosser, though? Like, if you had to...
Generally
speaking, yeah, they're a tosser or not a tosser.
If you had to generalise, estate agents are... Based on... You must have dealt with a few looking for the house, right?
Yeah, to be fair.
Yeah.
There we go. Right.
Absolute scum.
Yeah.
No, fuck off.
There's a one-on-one. We looked at another one. They tried to squeeze tossers. Like, loads of money out of us, really. Like, to get pressure us to put in up
look
the offer.
At that. Chris's defences is crumbling.
I know, sorry.
Next witness.
Fucking absolute.
It's good because we put an offer. They kept trying to squeeze us to put in a higher offer, and then they I said no, I'm not gonna put any more for it. It's not worth it. Because they kept saying, oh, the offer's a bit too low. Can you do an extra $2,000 or something like that? And we was like, no, we're not gonna. And then they called back the day that our offer got accepted on the other house, and I was like, can you? They're willing to go for the lower price now. It's like, yeah,
convenient.
No, sorry.
What a surprise.
All right. Well, joke of the week. Let's do that.
Oh, they'll spend it on bamboo or whatever.
Yeah, probably that. Or when they fell over.
That was the only joke, really. Like, verbal joke.
Yeah, it was the only proper joke that I can remember. But yeah, I'm happy to go for bamboo for joke of the week. I think that was quite good. I was happy with that at the start.
It's almost like they could have filmed like
Russell.
Like, they, instead of filming like episodes, they just filmed a load of stuff and then just literally edited it into six episodes.
That's pretty much what's happened to it, yeah.
Like, yeah. Doesn't feel like it was like coherent scripts, like, oh, this is episode 4 script, like this is this, we're filming this scene now.
Yeah.
It was like film a load of random bollocks and just chop it all together how you want.
Yeah, I think done differently. If it was done as a sketch show, this would work better, I think.
Yeah, with different script, different characters.
It was just like I keep saying, I think it was really undisciplined. Then it was.
Yeah,
I think improv is a great tool to have. I think where it's used sparingly and like they have enough discipline to cut things enough of it out and leave enough room around the edges in terms of the improv to kind of complement the script and stuff.
Yes.
Was this a product of, because what other sort of shows were on at the time? Is this like more of a product of like the early sort of 2000s comedy and TV
question.
At the time?
I don't think we've got many other lined up for around 2000.
So like, is it a case of like, well, you know, it wasn't great, but that's just kind of like what was going on at that time?
Yeah.
Well, Office came out in 2001.
It's good. It's a good thing we could have probably researched before this. It's good talking about, really.
don't you agree that the general dynamic was kind of like Peep Show? It was kind of. It was really kind of. I think maybe because of the coincidence of the interview bit, maybe sort of.
Yeah, maybe.
Pushed that a bit more on me, but like, there's just a general kind of dynamic, and maybe the era, I suppose.
So we're looking at 2000. So these are British sitcoms that were in the 2000s. Got Benidorm, Gavin and Stacey, Green Green Grass, Last of Summer Wine, Only Fools and Horses, Red Dwarf, Spaced.
What? Spaced was in this era, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't like Spaced. I've seen a bit of it. Not.
No, I quite like Spaced.
I just don't like Simon Pegg. I think I've said this before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just not a fan.
Not a fan of the new Mission Impossible thing.
I wouldn't watch them.
I've been watching those recently. Like, never watched them before. Like, we went through the Mission Impossible films. Oh, my God.
What are you up to now?
It was never.
No, I've watched them all.
Oh, you've seen them all, right?
They always complete the mission, didn't they?
Pardon?
So they always complete the mission.
I know. It's the worst thing was that we kept the IMF. I was like, what does the IMF stand for? And then literally, Impossible Mission Force.
I thought it was the International Monetary Fund. It's a really boring, like, financial procedurals.
Procedurals. It's good. It was really good. Not so many balance sheets. Yeah. A bit more shooting than I was expecting in
the
desk job.
I like the scene, the plot strand about the hedge fund. That was good. International Monetary Fund. What was it? The International Mission Force?
No, the Impossible Mission Force. Like, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I was watching it and they said, oh, the IMF. I was like, what does the IMF stand for? I was thinking it was going to be like the International, like, I don't know, something like that. But it's Impossible Mission Force. Like a branch of like US, like...
Impossible
Mission Force.
Like was it in Extras where Ross Kemp was like, yeah, I work for the SAS. You know what that stands for? Special Air Service? No. Special Army Soldiers.
Super Army Soldiers.
Super Army Soldiers.
It's like, it's just so... shit.
It's made up for a child's toy.
Yeah, it was, isn't it? It's like Impossible Mission Force new from Bandai or something like that.
Oh, imagine. Get the whole set.
Oh, yeah, it's just lame.
I remember how good Happy Meal toys were in the 90s. Fucking well good, weren't it? Imagine it was the Aladdin ones, they were good. Remember them? Had the lamp.
Can't remember.
Yeah, you used to get good quality things, but now you get like it's just dross, isn't it?
Bag of apple, rubbish.
Bag of apple, singular. I know that it is one apple, but still. Yeah. I'd like a bag of apple, please.
The only way I see them is if you go in and you see the little cabinet, the display cabinet, is on that side.
Cabinet! Like it's a Victorian pharmacy.
It's like an apothecary. They've got like all the display, their wares. You can look in and see the treasures. It's like, all right, fine, little Perspex box that they got them in. All right, fine.
Cabinet! It sounds so formal. That's like a man in a starched collar. Mr. McDonald to you.
Yeah, and they're just not very good, are they? But then. I used to like it was the advert where the kid was playing with his cars and he had like the Happy Meal box and he'd opened it up and it was like a little building. Always looked good.
I always like that one as well.
No, it's just so
good. Day take birthday or
it's like a little building, Mum. Yep.
Because you've got to go to work.
What else did I have? There was the Beauty and the Beast ones, they were good.
I don't remember any of them.
Remember the ones with like little transformers with the dinosaurs and they used to transform out. Like, but you know, when I was a kid, you didn't go that much, so you got like one and then you never got to complete your collection. Like, crazy.
I didn't really have any expectations with this, but.
Well, I expected it to be bad.
As did I.
I don't know, like, I thought.
You can usually tell how good something is by a lot of times availability of like. When it's on, like you think, like shows that are good that are from like 2000s previous.
Yeah.
Get repeated. They're on
literally
all four.
Never heard or seen this before.
You see it, but yeah, never even heard of it. So it kind of like you think if it's good, it's going to get picked up, it's going to get played again, it's going to get even like on like the evening shifts where they're like just putting shows on just to
1 a.m. I will add that on the TV app of All Four, which you can find this, it's currently unavailable. You actually have to watch it on PC or Mac, so you can't even watch it on like this platform.
Like
it,
the streaming where they're supposed to have like their entire
all the streaming
back catalog.
Yeah, you
like
you have to go on a laptop shows. To do it, so they don't even host it on this.
You have to download a Tor browser and go on the dark web to find it.
Yeah.
Right, standard test time, not really. Like,
I would say yes, if I'm honest.
Why?
I reckon that would still be on TV today, if I'm going to frame it that way. I reckon it would still be on TV today. It would still disappoint in the same way. You would just still not know why it was made. Because it's 2001. It's aged, obviously. But I could see this still getting
like
on TV.
BBC Three or something? Or?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Right.
I don't know if it would. I think it's too jumpy.
But that's what things are like. Everyone's got short attention spans nowadays.
Yeah, but it's like...
What? Brilliant. I'm not deaf.
The delay.
I think it would... I don't know. I was trying to think about shows that are like comedy shows that come out now. They seem to be a bit more of a following a sort of a narrative or at least a bit more sort of comprehensive and they're sort of following a... It's not that sort of jumping sketch thing anymore.
So we lost us for us. So you're both saying it doesn't stand the test of time.
Doesn't matter, does it?
It does. I like a good summary of things. I mean,
he's got a big pirate chest that he's burying all these sitcoms in the garden. I don't know what that links to, and I don't know why he's doing it. But all the ones that don't stand the test of time, he's like symbolically burying them. Yeah, I don't know.
2 minutes we should invoke the cowboys or pirates. We had to say something.
Game. Let's do the game.
Oh, yeah, it was a game now, was it?
Yeah, all right. Let's play Mark's stupid game.
There we go.
Mark made the game. Stupid game. Mark has made a stupid game. Let's play the game. Let's play the fucking stupid game.
Lost DOS Bros, and it's like based on MS-DOS.
No, it's not that.
Los Dos Bros, 80s bands.
Yep.
No, not entirely. Not entirely.
Oh no. Los Dos Boss, and it's
Past the Prince. Boys.
That Bruce Springsteen. Should have done that.
Yeah, he's wearing like cowboy boots now. Did Bruce Springsteen wear that?
He wore that. What do you mean he's wearing cowboy boots now? What now? Is it like, right, it's the point in time. Check out his Insta.
Well, I went to the supermarket and couldn't get the trolley. Then I found a purse inside it.
That was great.
Thanks.
Really good. This game is called Quel Dos Bros. Accent any good?
Quel Dos Bros.
I think that's the correct translation, which means...
Are these brothers?
Which, it's supposed to mean which of the brothers. Is that right?
Mm. I think that's French, isn't it, Quel?
Q-U-A-L. Quel?
Quel.
Quel Dos Bros.
Yeah, fine. Quel.
Quel Dos Bros. Of these two famous brothers, which said the following quotes? So I'm going to read a quote, and you're going to tell me which of the two brothers said it.
Okay. Why? I don't know why. Is this a game?
Yeah.
Is this why you got fired from Hasbro?
Let's just get through this quiz and then we can stop.
Hasbro. It's the second one you've mentioned.
Bandai.
Bandai and Hasbro.
Oh, right.
My brother-in-law sent me a picture of his ball back last night.
Why?
I don't know.
Just random.
Yeah.
Nice.
No explanation.
Was that a question? Was it?
Yeah, was it nice? Did you enjoy it?
Not really, no.
Is it one of those like super zoomed in ones where you thought he was looking at like mountains or
no?
No?
Someone's leg slightly askance, and then the ball back drooping out of his shorts.
test for the Christmas card this year. getting your feedback.
But he took it as a picture, and like the ball bag was exposed, but then he'd like erased his shoe, so you couldn't identify him from his shoe. I'd recognise that sack anywhere.
Because you're big into forensics, aren't you? You always identify someone from their shoes.
Enhance. Come on, let's get this over with.
So first up, we've got the Mitchell Brothers. My approach to EastEnders is the same as my approach to film.
These aren't real brothers, though.
Well, they don't have to be.
Oh.
Yeah, next question.
It's the same approach to film and the same approach to theatre. Whatever I do, I use the same skills and tools. Is that Ross Kemp or Steve McFadden?
I say Ross Kemp.
Steve McFadden.
What?
Christ. Yeah, what? I even
film and theatre?
Yeah, I even double-checked that today.
Film?
Yeah, you're never in a film.
I even double-checked.
I'll do a panto once a year. It's not. It's kind of theatre, I guess, Steve. I mean, film.
I even checked this today because I was...
Has he been in a film?
I don't know. I even checked this today to make sure it was a quote
Kodak
that he said.
Developed at Tesco.
This is the skills that I use for film. Great, I've never been in a film, but if I were to be in a film...
It's like that thing where, you try and get into character, and when they say, he's behind you, don't look. Breaks the immersion. I'm not about the fall. Fucking hell.
Question two, Jones. Bross. The best toy we had growing up was a dart.
A what?
A dart. No dartboard, just the dart. Was that Matt Gross or Luke Gross?
Matt or Luke? Don't know, Luke.
It's Matt.
No, oh, you idiot.
Next up, the craze. I did not regret it at the time, and I don't regret it now. I've never felt a moment's regret. Is that Reggie or Ronnie Cray?
Oh, I don't know. Which one of them?
I can tell you which is which. Either
shot someone. Reggie.
That's Reggie.
Hey. Really?
That was Reggie. What one was Reggie then?
Ronald was the gay one.
Okay, well, this was Reggie.
I thought it would be Ronnie because he was only shot that bloke in the pub.
Okay.
But, get the fuck. Go on.
All right, let's go. Next up, we've got the Afflecks. My family would be supportive if I said I wanted to be a Martian where only banana skins make love to ashtrays and eat tree bark. Is that Ben Affleck or Casey Affleck?
Sounds like a Ben Affleck kind of thing to say.
That's a Casey Affleck.
It's a stupid game.
All right. Next up, we've got the Wilsons. This one will take the game for you.
Wilsons?
Oh, like the Breach Boys Wilsons.
The Owen or Luke.
Oh, those Wilsons.
You know how they say... We only use 10% of our brains. I think we only use 10% of our heart.
Owen Wilson.
It is definitely Owen Wilson. Yeah.
Do you say that while sitting on a sofa?
Almost definitely, yes. Yeah, that was very clearly Owen Wilson. Finally, just finished the game, the Estevez brothers. So, we are all wonderful, beautiful wrecks. That's what connects us. That we're all broken, all beautifully imperfect. Is that Emilio Estevez or Charlie Sheen, also known as Carlos Irwin Estevez?
Emilio.
It is Emilio Estevez. Well done.
Cheers.
Do you want to help us end this game on a high?
shit, come, shit.
Have any of these got Sid James in them? Hold in the Fault?
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, let's go for that then. Hold in the Fault.
All right, Hold in the Fault.
Good.
Guess where your toes are. Like a child's foot. Look, guess where your toes are. They're so small, like dainty girl's toes. Look. Don't you think?
Amazed.
It's like a little China doll's feet.
Oh, well, this is.
Especially at that angle as well. Like you're being kissed by a man. Oh.
Oh, as if this whole episode wasn't a downer. This.
Yeah, look, almost completely hairless, like a little China doll. Beautiful. Oh. Like I've been bound.
All right, then. Well, we've been watching. You've been listening. Neither of that was right. You've been listening.
I'm watching. The video's not kicking in.
Look at him.
You've been listening. We watched. You've been listening to The Great British Sitcom. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at British Sitcom.
He looks like Hitler in the bunker. The Russians have breached Berlin's defences. He knows the end is near.
last edict. It's just like...
he's gonna marry Antonia in a short ceremony. And then... I guess me and the orders burn their bodies in the car park.
I guess.
I'd rather just shoot off, to be honest. I didn't think I'd be involved in this.
I didn't think it'd get to this. To be fair, at the time it seemed a logical conclusion.
It's like the heady days of the rallies that Mark used to do. It didn't seem like anything was anything could go wrong. But he overstretched his hand, opened up an Eastern Front. Yeah. And the rest is history, I guess.
He's just that guy's Russia in the winter. That's the main thing.
It's been silly. Many a devil of many a military leader, but no one seems to learn the lesson.
And makes for a pretty dull holiday.
At British Shitcom, using the hashtag Shitcom, leave us a review, iTunes, and subscribe. Alternatively, go to the website, wherever that is. Yeah, you find the merchandise. Thanks very much.